So I'm going to focus on it 2 weeks.
So let's open with a word of prayer.
Our Father, we thank you for the just the wonderful opportunity to come out to study your word together. I pray this morning that you would bless us as we give our attention to these thoughts. I thank you for our study. I thank you for all that you're showing us in this study. I thank you for every lady that got up and came this morning and put herself in the position to hear your anointed, powerful word. We're in a place where the Spirit is here because we're here, and the Spirit is in us. This is a place that has been prayed over. This is a place, Father, where we are safe and where we can grow. And we ask you, Lord, to do that very thing in us, to grow us, to mature us, to bring us to a place where we're not children anymore, tossed to and fro, but that we are godly women who stand firm and who are lights in our world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here is our book that we're studying, and this morning we are on chapter 5. And this chapter is entitled Mental Trap. Now, look on your handout at a verse I want to begin with this morning out of Proverbs. For as a man or a woman thinks in her heart, so is she. Thinking, our thinking, is very important. I really think, you know, I hear about it was Zig Ziglar who said, your problem is stinking thinking. And so many times we have stinking thinking, don't we? Look on your handout and let's fill in the blank on the first statement there. One of the main ways we can resist the temptation to be discontent is to pay attention. Pay attention to what we are thinking about. And that's this morning kind of a nutshell of what we're going to be talking about in our Sunday school lesson. Our minds are like a garden. And whatever we're thinking, we've got to be very careful what we're planting in our minds, because it's going to yield a crop. Now, Nancy, our writer, Nancy Wilson, gives us a great picture in our chapter that really helps us. I loved her picture. She says, you know how easy it is for our minds to go dumpster diving. And think about it with your thinking. You know, if you just put your mind in neutral all day long and let your mind just drift, it's so easy for you to get off track in your thinking. We're going to have disciplined thinking. Now, it's easy to go into that dumpster and dig out fleshly things, carnal things, earthly things, things that are untrue, things that are unlovely, things that are unkind, things that are unjust. Because dumpsters are always full of garbage. Things like all of your past failures. Do you find yourself going there in your mind? Things like your past sins. Not to mention you've been sinned against. And those things are in the dumpster too. And then there are bitternesses and there are worries. And we wonder that when we dumpster dive with our minds, no wonder we find ourselves in a situation where we're discontent. We're worried, we're bitter, we're anxious, we're fearful. It results in our heads being full of troubles. That's why God commands us to put our minds on better things. Now, I think if we are honest, we'd all agree that dumpster diving is very easy to do, is it not? It's what our flesh enjoys doing. But consider this with me this morning. We're different now. We've been born again. And there's a new person in us. And that new person has a spirit that's been born again. Now look on your handout at my little picture, and I teach this many, many times, and I'm not sure if you've ever heard me teach this, but look at it. You are three parts. You are a spirit. Now that's the part of you that's made in the image of God. You're a spirit. You have a mind. That's your soul. You're thinking. It's where you think, your mind, your will, your emotions. That's all a part of your soul. You are a spirit. You have a soul, but here's the key. You live in a body. It's a body of flesh. Now, when you get born again, the spirit is the part of you that's completely made brand new. You are born again before your spirit was dead, but when you become born again, that comes alive. And the Holy Spirit of God enters right into you, into your spirit. That's the part of you that's going to live forever. Then you have the area of your mind, your soul. Now, think with me about the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He does what? Restores my soul. Your soul has to be restored. Now, that word in the Greek is like if I took an old beat up piece of furniture and I restored it to its original beauty. It would be a process, wouldn't it? So when you get born again, think with me. The spirit immediately transformed, immediately made perfect, made righteous. You're ready at any point to be absent from the body. You'll be present with the Lord. But the soul has to go through a process. You have to have your minds transformed. That takes time. You have to learn to quit thinking earthly, fleshly, like you've always thought. Now, I didn't get born again until I was married. I was 19, I believe. Could have been 20. I can't remember exactly. But I had all of this history of thinking wrong patterns, thinking wrong ways. And it took time for me. I'm still in process of learning to think rightly and to think biblically. But what I want you to see is this body of flesh, you've got to live in this body of flesh until you die. Then you'll be released from it. And it is lazy. It loves to dumpster dive. It's going to always try to pull you to the dumpster. And that's where the war comes in the Christian life. The spirit, the real you, the new you, the born again you, is warring against your flesh. And if you can get the soul on the side of the spirit, then you've got two against one and you're in good shape. Now, where am I in my notes? It will take discipline, ladies, to get out of the dumpster. Look at the greatest commandment there on your handout. I want to just point out one thing. I pulled it out of Luke 10:27. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. All right, all your heart would be your spirit. All your soul would be your mind, your will, and your emotions. With all your strength and with all your mind. You're to love the Lord with all your mind. Now, if you just let your mind wander on its own, the flesh is going to try to take the mind right to the dumpster. Because that's the flesh's default position. Just run to the dumpster. Let's look at this verse out of Romans 8. Now, Romans 8 is the Holy Spirit chapter in the Bible. I love Romans 8. Let's read it together. She's pulled out two verses for us to look at, 5 and 6. And this is what it says. For those who live according to the flesh. Now, who would the people in the world be that just live according to their flesh? Who would they be? Well, those who are not saved. They're dead in their spirit. They just live according to the flesh. They just do what the flesh tells them to do. So, for those who live according to the flesh, what do they set their minds on? Well, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But Those who live according to the Spirit, who would that be? Well, that would be those of us who are saved. We're going to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded, that results in death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's write this down. Contentment is being spiritually minded. Contentment is living according to the Spirit. Contentment means setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. Now, this is a command here this morning for us to consider. Let those who walk according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. This is going to require discipline on our parts. Now, I don't know, I don't want you to read this morning and think somehow this is something that, okay, I've got to make myself do this. Yes, it's going to take effort on your part, but praise God. He's put the Holy Spirit in us. And that Spirit in us is powerful. It's very powerful. And he's telling you, Teresa, you just need to live according to the Spirit of God who's in you, who's so powerful that when you were dead in your trespasses and sin, he resurrected you and gave you life. Now, that is powerful. So let's write some things about the Holy Spirit. He gives us the power to think rightly. He gives us the power to love the Lord our God with all our minds. He gives us the power to think biblically. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the Holy Spirit. I feel like we concentrate a lot on God our Father and on Jesus Christ, who is amazing, who paid the penalty for our sins to open a way for us to have life and to be made right with God. We don't magnify the Spirit enough. He's also a third part of the Trinity. And he's the one in us. He's the one helping us. He's the one that's giving us the motivation and the power to live in a way that brings glory to God. Now, when you say, I want you to set your mind on things above, literally means picking up your thoughts and moving them to another place. We have to learn to frisk our thoughts. You know, when you frisk somebody, you pat them down to make sure they don't have a weapon. And we have to say, okay, here comes this thought. Are you lovely? Are you pure? Are you of good report? Are you virtuous? And the way out of the dumpster requires spiritual and mental discipline. We have to pay attention to our thinking. Look at our next scripture to consider. It comes out of Colossians 3. And this is, we're to set our minds on the things of the Spirit, and then we're going to seek something. Look for it in Colossians 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, in other words, if you're a Christian, if you're born again, and here comes the command, here's what we're to do, seek the things which are above, where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So set your mind on things of the Spirit. Seek the things which are above. Now, how do we do this? Let's write it down. First, you've got to tune in to your thoughts, because changing your thought patterns is going to require you to tune in and kind of read your thoughts and get aware of your thinking processes. And a lot of that depends on us. I really believe this. I believe that the most important conversations you have are the ones you have with yourself, in your own hearts. It's there that you replay that video of hurts. You replay that video of wrongs. It's there where you daydream about all that you don't have. all the mistakes you made. It's there that all of the complaints and the murmurings are forming. It's there where you're crafting all your conversations. What am I going to say when I see so-and-so? What am I going to say to that person? I'm thinking about my words. For example, consider worry. This is an illustration she gives in our book, and I thought it was good. And she says, worry is simply telling ourselves bad stories. I like that. Going over and over in our minds what might happen. Not what is reality, but what might happen. It's a very serious form of discontent. Instead, I may have put this on your handout. We replace those thoughts with God's word. Did I put that on your handout? Instead of going there in our minds, let's dwell on God's word, on God's promises, and then let's tell ourselves to be quiet. Have you ever told yourself, shut up? Quiet. Tell yourself to be quiet. You've got to change the mental conversation. You've got to replace those thoughts with God's truth. And instead of going there to worry of things that haven't even happened, I'm going to start making my focus on something that's true, something that's good. And there are a lot of choices for you. Now, here's what it means. It means that you will have to practice thinking about things that are praiseworthy. It means that we will have to spend time on spiritually healthy topics. This is all a part of what it means for us to discipline our minds, to love the Lord our God with all of our minds. And then this, it means we're going to have to take ownership over our thoughts. You could say it this way, take responsibility. Well, I can't help it, Teresa, I just do it. I've got a sad life, things are bad, I can't help it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You know why you can? Because you're born again. And who's in you? The Spirit of God. And is He powerful? Is He powerful to help you do that? Yes, He is. So no excuses. Change the subject every time your thoughts want to go to the dumpster. And so much of our discontent comes from just allowing our thoughts to feed on the wrong things, like diving into our past. Like dwelling on what might have been or what we don't have. That kind of thinking just produces anxiety. And I liked her definition of anxiety. Let's write it down. Anxiety is the fruit of dwelling on worries and cares instead of what 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to do, casting all of our care upon Him, for He cares for us. What an invitation. What an invitation. You are tempted to be anxious, to be worried, to be unsettled, and you're just going to take that according to the promise of God, and because He cares for you, you're His. You just cast it all on Him. And you be as honest as I'll get out with Him. I'm not telling you to sweep it under the rug. These are realities. But I can cast it all upon Him because He cares for me. Anxiety, it's just another form of discontent. All of these mental sins come because we're listening to untruth rather than talking truth to ourselves. Now, this is going to take time in our lives. So, how do we start? Well, number one, notice when you are dumpster diving. You've got to become aware. And then number two, get out of there ASAP. Okay? And it may be very hard for you at first, because you might enjoy the dumpster. But keep at it, and it will get easier. And then the blessing will come. Instead of going to the dumpster, guess where I'm going to go? I'm going to go to the green, contented pastures of virtuous, praiseworthy thoughts that will keep me out of the dumpster. And the truth of the matter is this. Many of our discontents would completely disappear if we would just quit giving them our attention and thinking about them. Now, notice, the problem may not disappear. The problem will still be there. But the discontent that I'm experiencing can vanish. I liked an example she gave in the book. She said, consider, for example, that you're experiencing a financial problem. Now, I know none of you have ever had a financial problem. So you're thinking about it, and you're worrying about it, and you're regretting the foolish choices you made that got you there in the first place. And then you're looking at your friends who are debt-free, and you are envying them. None of that is fixing your finances, right? You're simply wasting your time when you should be maybe out looking for a job or maybe making strategies of how you're going to pay off your debts. But instead, you're thinking continually about your troubles, and it makes you grumpy, and it causes you to be ungrateful, and it stresses you out, and you can't even enjoy the blessings that you have, and you aren't even good company for yourself, much less for anyone else. But once you speak out, once you break out, rather, of the mental trap of discontent, you're free to press on to address your difficulties and make a better strategy to address them, and you have a better attitude and a clearer perspective. So let's write it this way. Take ownership of all your mental habits. Oh, I think we already wrote that, maybe. But I like that statement. Let's quit making excuses for our stinking thinking. Well, I would, Teresa. If only this. If only that. We have this If Only book. But the command is this. Seek for the things that are above where Christ is seated. Now let's look at that word seek. What does it mean? It means to run after. It means to chase after. It means to search diligently for. Do you feel the feeling there? It's you're running after it. You're searching after it. You're chasing after it. And I guess my question this morning out of this lesson for us, will we commit this morning to set our hearts to please God with all of our minds? Let's end with Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is where Paul leaves the doctrinal part of his book and he moves to the practical part of his book. And this is what he says, therefore, because of everything I've told you now, all of this fabulous doctrinal stuff about who you are in Christ and what Christ has done for you and about the Spirit of God. Then he says, there's something I want you to do with your body first. I want you to, by the mercies of God, present your bodies and notice to be a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. And that is just your spiritual service of worship. Teresa, what is worship? Worship is you bringing your body, and you're bringing a holy body. You're not taking your mind and watching nasty stuff. You're not reading nasty stuff. You're not involved in sin. You're bringing a holy body to Him. And you're presenting yourself. And you say, I want to live for you. I want to do your work. I want to do what you want me to do. That's what you do with your body. Well, what about your mind? Look at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. You know, the world really does try to make us fit into its mold. Think like it thinks. But you and I are to be transformed. We're to have renewed minds. We're to think differently. We're to assess ourselves, consider our innermost beings. And I just want to say, as we close this lesson, contentment is available to you, my sister. It is available. Do you believe that? It's ours for the taking. But the question is, will we do the heart work that is required to help us get to this most desirable destination, the green pasture of contentment? And as I'm praying for us, I'm just saying, Lord, make us women who are growing in grace, who are growing in knowledge, growing in wisdom, and this, growing in godliness. Because remember we said last week, contentment is a fruit of godliness. And I'm just like, God, make us a group of contented, godly women. Now go to your questions at the end of chapter 5, and let's talk about those at our table. And then I'll come back up, and I will close us in prayer. Well, I hope you had good discussion around your table. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for our time together this morning in your word. I pray that it will bear much fruit in our lives. And as we go out, Father, strengthen us through the power of your Spirit to think rightly, to love you with all of our minds, to stay out of the dumpster, and to set our minds on things above where you are seated, to frisk our thoughts, and to please you with all of our being, with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I hope to see you next week. Have a good week.